Okay, we're now going to have two Bible readings. The first one is from John 11, verses 1 to 16.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the young village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him."
Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Let's pray so that God's Spirit can guide us as we reflect on his word. Let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word now to reflect on the meaning of these verses, Lord, and in particular Jesus' statement that he is the resurrection and the life, Lord, we pray that you would quieten our hearts, that you would guide us by your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage us by the hope we have in Jesus, that he is risen. Amen. Now, this may sound a bit strange, but my first job, my very first job, was actually selling lollies door to door. It's a bit of a strange kind of a job. I'm not really sure how that came about. I was quite young. I was too young to have an official job. I don't really know how I got away with this, but I used to go around with this bloke and we'd go door to door selling these lollies. Now, I wanted to do this because I had a goal, and my goal was to buy my very first guitar. And so I would walk huge distances doing this, at least it felt like it as a kid, probably only 4 or 5 Ks, but that's a long way when you're a kid. I'd knock on doors and sometimes I'd make a sale. Other times, well, the door would get closed in my face or I'd be met with an angry dog. But I didn't mind because I had my eyes fixed on getting that very first guitar. Now, the guitar I had my eye on was a nylon string Valencia classical guitar. So Matt's nodding, he knows. It was quite a nice guitar. It was secondhand, but that meant it was within my grasp. So I walked my little heart out, knocked on doors and sold as many of these lollies as I could so that I could get enough money to buy this first guitar. And once I'd had a reasonable amount of money saved up so that I could go and check it out, my dad took me down, he obviously drove me down, and we went and had a look at this guitar. My dad could play the guitar, so he looked it over for me. He played it to make sure it sounded like it should. And after we checked it out thoroughly, he took it over and he put it on the counter and he put it on lay-by. Trouble was, I had absolutely no idea what was going on at the time. I was a kid, and so I had never in my entire life put anything on lay-by. So I had no idea how that worked. I assumed in my young mind that I would be taking my guitar home and then slowly paying it off over time. When Dad started to walk out of the shop, I cried out, "Didn't you forget the guitar?" In front of the store manager, mind you, who had a good little chuckle to himself. I went quiet as a young kid, a bit embarrassed about what I'd done and still had no idea what was really going on. It wasn't until I got out to the car that my father explained to me what he had done. The guitar I was working so hard to get my hands on was now reserved and waiting for me. I now knew that no one else could buy it before I got an opportunity to save up the money. And I can tell you that certainly was a comforting feeling. It was reassuring to know that even though I was working hard to get it, it was going to be there at the end of all that work. And at the time, especially as a kid, it still felt like a really, really long way away. Today is Easter, the day when we celebrate the good news that Jesus has risen from the grave, that all those who have faith in him have hope have life beyond the grave. And we celebrate this life. We know that it was achieved by Christ's perfectly sinless life, by his death in our place and by his resurrection. And we know this is incredibly good news because death is the one thing that no matter how smart humans are, we cannot conquer. But reality provides hope of eternal life with Christ beyond the grave. We no longer have to fear eternal judgment. We no longer have to fear God's wrath, all because of what Christ has done for us. Which means that at the end of our days, we await a homecoming. We await a reunion with those who loved Christ. But as wonderful as all that is, sometimes that feels like a really, really long way off. We're still living in a broken world, still struggling with our own sin, still slowly growing older, and still experiencing all of the suffering that sin brought into our world. And as those who trust in the certain hope that we have that has been made possible through Christ, when he rose from the grave, well, sometimes it can just feel like it's a really long way off. Sometimes as we miss loved ones who have passed away, or as we face the brokenness of this world, it can feel like that hope is so far away that it's hard to encourage us now. This morning, as we celebrate the good news that Jesus is risen, we're being reminded that the hope of the resurrection is not just a hope for the end of the age or for the end of our days, but it's a hope that comforts us, reassures us, and gives us purpose right here and right now. Because Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. In the beginning of chapter 11, we're told that Lazarus had become sick. And it was obviously a very serious illness because his sisters, Mary and Martha, wasted no time in sending word to Jesus. They said, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Told in verse 2 that this was the same Mary who had anointed Jesus' feet with perfume and wiped his feet, dried them with her hair. Both Lazarus, Mary and Martha were followers of Jesus. They believed that Jesus was the promised king, the Messiah. But as Lazarus continued to grow weaker and weaker because of this illness, it must have been harder for them to hold on to that hope. And when Lazarus finally passed away, it must have felt as though all hope was gone. Meanwhile, back in Bethany, as Jesus was given this message that Lazarus was sick, he replied with these words, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Even after hearing that Lazarus was sick, Jesus didn't rush back to Jerusalem. In fact, he waited in Bethany 2 more days. But when the time came and Jesus told his disciples that he was about to go to Judea and then to Jerusalem, well, his disciples were not on board because last time he'd been there, the Jews had tried to stone him. Jesus insisted, saying, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up." But a bit like the time when Jesus had told them to be aware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they thought he was talking about bread, here, when Jesus said he was going to wake Lazarus from his sleep, they thought he was just having a rest. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe." By the time Jesus and his disciples arrived in Jerusalem, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Jesus had only waited 2 days before he had headed back to Jerusalem. That means that about the same time as Jesus was getting the message, Lazarus had passed away. But why did Jesus wait two more days before he went back to Jerusalem? Well, I think this is because at the time, there was a belief, a common belief, that the soul of a deceased person would hover around the deceased for 3 days after they passed away. And on the fourth day, as decomposition set in, it would depart forever. By the fourth day, the soul was gone. There was no hope of resurrection. Now, maybe this belief came about by too many people being pronounced dead prematurely. I don't know, but by the fourth day, the Jews believed that all hope was gone. Any chance of resurrection was off the table. And because of this, the mourning for a deceased person that was most intense on the fourth day. That was the day when they knew their loved one would not return. But as Jesus waited until the fourth day, he was getting ready to give God the glory through the Son. When Martha heard that Jesus was on his way, she rushed out to meet him on the road. And she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know even now God will give you whatever you ask." When people are grieving, the loss of somebody who's near and dear to them, they will often tell you exactly what they feel. There's no filters at that point. And that seems to be what Martha's doing here. She's frustrated and sad because she knew that Jesus could have healed Lazarus had he been there. And so she felt like he wasn't there when she needed him. But even in her frustration, even in her sadness, there was still hope, because she believed in life beyond the grave. And so she replied, and so Jesus replied, "Your brother will rise again." To which Martha said, "I know he will. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Martha was looking to a hope that was a long way off. It was a sure hope, but it was still a long way off. Martha dearly loved her brother. Her pain and her grief was very real. It was past the fourth day since he had deceased. Her pain and sadness was very real. And even though her hope in the resurrection of the dead remained, in that moment, it must have felt like such a long way away. So to remind Mary and Martha of the hope of the resurrection, that it's not just for the end of the age, but that it's a present and real reality for those who trust in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." When Jesus says that those who believe in him will never die, well, he clearly wasn't talking about physical death, because Lazarus and many other believers who had trusted in the promise were already in the grave when he said those words. What Jesus was saying is that death is not the end for those who trust in him, because he is the resurrection and the life. And he showed this to them that very day as he raised Lazarus from the dead. I've spent most of my adult life repairing machines that were broken. If no one repaired those machines, well, they would be as good as dead. But while I might be able to repair machinery, I have never once said, nor will I say out of this context, I am the repair and the fix. Because what I used to do is separate from who I am. But that's not the case with Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the source of life for those who trust in him. He is the one who made it possible, and he is the one who sustains and brings to fulfillment that life He is the resurrection and the life. And even now, he is the one who is petitioning God the Father for those who trust in him. The hope of the resurrection isn't just a good theology that we should all know and trust in. This isn't some far-off belief that will one day take place, but we don't really experience now. Jesus is the resurrection and the life right here and right now for those who believe. He is the personal savior of all who trust in him, because he is the one who has revealed himself to us through his word, by his spirit, and more than that, by his willingness to go to the cross for us. He is here with us, walking with those who trust in him, even as we live in this broken world, even as we await the hope that is to come, even as we grieve the loss of loved ones, or face serious illness ourselves, or all kinds of hardships in this life. We do so not as people who have some vague notion of a future blessing, a future life, but as people who have put their trust in the solid rock, people who have put their trust in the resurrection and the life. As we go through this world, we do not go through it alone. We do not go through it without hope. Have a look at verse 35. In verse 35, Jesus weeps for Lazarus. He weeps because of death. And he cares for us too in our pain, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he is right here with us now as he comforts us and guides us until the day when he will one day raise us to be with him forever. Today we're celebrating the good news that Jesus is risen from the grave. And that is good news, not just because of the future hope that we have, which is an incredible hope, and it changes everything now as well, but because he is here walking alongside those who trust in him. So that no matter what we face in this life, no matter what we go through, we can be sure that he will never leave or forsake those who trust in him, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is our source of life. He is our source of hope. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Father God, we so often think of the hope we have in you as something that is a long way away, something that is hard for us to even imagine. But Lord, we pray in thanks for the hope we have in you, the present and real hope that you are here with us, that you are here walking alongside those who grieve, that you are celebrating with those who are rejoicing, that you are here giving purpose to those who had once had none, and hope to those who were once hopeless. Lord, we praise you for who you are and for what you have done for us. And Lord, we pray that you would fix our eyes on the hope we have in the resurrection and the life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.